Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's right, John. This week, we are talking about dead game franchises that we want to come back.
Dude, there's one in particular that, like, I have just been, like, and it'll never happen is the other thing. Like, it'll never happen. But I always, like, I'm like, oh, man, maybe someday. And then everyone's going to have to find out what it is later. But yeah.
All right. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But first, John, what have you been up to this week?
So this week I've done a couple things. I started the Ratchet and Clank A Rift Apart. So after finishing Alan Wake Remastered, we talked about that last week and probably the week before that too, I was like, sweet. There's also Ratchet and Clank that was added to the PlayStation Plus game catalog for whatever level that I'm in. I think it's the middle level, whatever one, you know, I think that's the one that it was added to. And this was a game that I've had my eyeballs on for it was a launch game for the PS5. It was the game that they were like, oh yeah, this game just could not happen without this lightning fast SSD, hard drive on there, for the super fast loading while you're going in and out of these rifts and stuff like that. I've kind of like been wanting to play it. And since they added it, I was like, okay, sweet. This is great. And let me say, it's an awesome Insomniac game. Like Insomniac does a really good job of like movement and, really like wild weapons and things. And so like, this is like that, like it feels very much like a Sunset Overdrive-y, but like less edge, like less punk rock, you know, more, fuzzy animal, type situation.
Nice.
And so yeah, it's gorgeous to look at. The gameplay is really fun. The teleportation stuff is like, has shocked me at how like instantaneous a lot of that is, and feels like ridiculously fast and good. I also saw like it's on PC now, like they released it to PC. And so, I was like, okay, well, like, how is the loading there? And just because, like, well, the minimum spec on one of those, on the PC game actually doesn't require an SSD, but it requires, like, a specific, you know, like, updated graphics and, like, a lot of things to compensate for that. But I did see that that over at Digital Foundry, they basically took the lowest PC build and hooked it up and installed it on a PS4 hard drive to be like, okay, well, could this run on a PS4 then? Like, let's just find out. And it could not. Like, that's the...
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was hitchy. I mean, it was like...
Can you tell us that graphically superior?
Yeah. Like, I can tell, like, it looks like you can see the fur on the person and, like, and everything, like, loads so quick. And whenever you're teleporting in and out of these portals, like a little bit of it is like the magic of games where it's like, okay, well, there wasn't a portal there a second ago, or like whenever you activate it, you go into just a different room, but it is just instantaneous whenever you are like going through these portals to go into other, worlds. So I don't know, man, it's wild. The thing was, like, I was like, this probably could have existed in a really low, like low res, like the loading times or whatever. Like, it's just like, well, preloaded on the level instead of like loading it instantaneously, from the drive. But then you would like sacrifice like all of the graphics, essentially, is what it would feel like to me. Because like there's games that have like been like this where you're like, oh yeah, you go through that thing over there and you're in just a completely different world. And like there have been games like that before, but they were never at this visual fidelity with like the particle effects and all of these, you know, these things happening all at once. But dude, the thing that I also want to shout out the PlayStation for is their 3D audio is really good. Like you set it up, customize it, kind of the settings to your own ears. And like, while I love like the Dolby Atmos over on Xbox, but seriously, there's something about the way that they do the headphone audio for the PlayStation 5 that just, it really does feel like the one of the most immersive like 3D audio things that I've heard. So
interesting. That's cool.
So that game's super fun. I'm going to keep playing it. Apparently it's not very long. It's like 10 hours long or something like that. So I might be like halfway through. I don't know. It seems like I have a lot of game left, and it seems like these worlds are pretty open. Like you load into a different planet and there's kind of like these open areas with like all of the quests and the side quests and things like that, that you can take on. But so far I'm really having a blast, man. It's super fun.
That's awesome.
What have you been up to this week?
Yeah. So really the main thing I've been up to, season 5 of Call of Duty Warzone started. And ranked play, I talked about last week, I've been playing a lot more of that.
Nice.
There's no really huge updates, you know, in terms of map or something like that. But they've taken some, there was a game mode, based on like superhero powers from, the TV show, The Boys on Amazon. And so like there was a game mode based on that, and they've taken some mechanics from that, which is pretty cool. One of them is like, you know, in the middle of like the first circle, randomly, you get like a 30-second countdown, or maybe it might be 60 seconds, but basically you have to either get underwater or go prone, or else you become fully visible on the minimap,
nice.
For a good, I think it's 60 seconds. And so like, if you're running around, everyone can see you and where you're at. But if you're prone, you can't. So you kind of have to like juggle, okay, what am I doing now? Can I like get in cover? Like, do I just roam around and try to shoot people anyway? Like, you know, it's a pretty cool mechanic, which shakes up the gameplay a little bit.
So could you, in fact, like set it up to your advantage where like, okay, we're like, you're the one, and you like one of the people on your squad like goes out there and is like still standing in the middle of a field, and then like you basically like you lure people in where they're like, oh man, there's a single person over there, and then they run over to try to take them out, and
you can could, yeah.
I feel like you could really game the system a little bit there, which would be fun.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that's really cool. How serious are you? How deep are you in the ranked side of things? Like,
I mean, you playing
like warm up matches on your non ranked, and then being like, okay, let's switch over to ranked. I'm ready.
No. I can't even tell you what rank I am.
gotcha. Oh man, that's the thing. Like whenever rank mode comes in for me, I'm always like, oh man, I'm gonna get serious about it or whatever. And it just ends up like, I'm just like, nah, either. I just basically play ranked all the time then.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, cool, dude. Well, cool. Well, we're going to talk about some games a little bit later, and what games we want to revive, bring back in, you know, in zombified form. But first, a pick of the week. Pick of the week.
What is your pick of the week, John?
My pick of the week this week is a television show that I've been watching on Hulu, and I'm through season one. There are two seasons that are out, but the television show is called The Bear. Have you watched The Bear?
I have not, but I've heard good things.
It's real good. It was not what I expected at all. Somebody recommended it to me, and I was like, they were like, oh yeah, it's a show about, you know, a big name chef who comes back to run the family restaurant after it's like left them in his brother's will. And, you know, I was like, all right, sweet. Sounds great. And it's like billed as a comedy. Like that's what it falls under. Right. The thing is, like, I didn't find it like a comedy really almost at all. I was like, this is just a drama. And so like, cause I went into it thinking, I was like, oh yeah, well, it's going to be kind of fun or like whatever, you know, and it gets there, but dude, like it's intense. Like I'd say, each episode is a shorter episode. I think they're like half hour episodes. And man, they like crank up the stakes real fast. It's also the, there's, you know, it's not like a light watch, I would say. Like, you kind of gotta, like, I have found myself having to pay attention, like, to everything in it, where I was like, okay, well, you know, I don't want to miss anything. And because, like, so much of the, like, a lot of things are, like, you know, unsaid between characters or whatever, but, like, you know, but they're there, like, the storylines are there. It's really good, though. I really enjoy it, especially, like, having finished season one. It comes to a really nice place, and that was, like, a few days ago that I ended season one, where it was, like, basically, I was like, man, I gotta watch this, and binged it all the way through the end of the season, and now I'm like, well, I'm gonna take a break from that intensity before I dive back into season two, because it has a really nice, a good kind of finish to it, where it, like, opens things up for them to go to new places in season two. But it does have, like, a good, like, okay, well, let's take a pause. Like, it's really, honestly, in my brain, it feels like the pacing of it was a really, like, some of the best pacing in a television show, where, like, immediately you're just kind of thrown in, and it's, you know, it's hectic. It's like you're figuring out, who are these characters? What are the motivations of everybody in this group? Everybody's yelling at each other, and you know, it really does get right off the bat. And then once you settle in, it's just kind of like does the thing that I love with TV, where you can put two different characters that haven't really interacted with each other, put them together, see what they're like together, and that sort of thing. It's a really like good show. I enjoyed it a lot.
Nice.
It's not for everybody. There's lots of language and conflict and high stakes in there. But I enjoyed it. What is your pick of the week this week, Chris?
Oh man. So I was sitting here being like, I don't know that I realized we were doing pick of the week. So I don't know that I have a pick of the week, but I can tell you something that is coming up that I'm excited about. There's a, in the past couple of years, they've released an illustrated version of the Silmarillion and an illustrated version of Lord of the Rings.
That's right.
This year on September, I guess it's September 19th. There's an illustrated version of The Hobbit. Illustrated by Tolkien, coming out.
Cool.
And so you can pre-order that on Amazon right now. I've got that pre-ordered. I'm excited about it.
I feel like I need to pre-order that, Chris. I did not pre-order The Silmarillion because I've never read that book. Like, I don't have like a super like big affinity for that one or anything like that. So I'm like, I don't know. Should I get that one? But The Hobbit, that sounds, I feel like I need to add that to my collection.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's real good. Check that out. I feel like it's the illustrations are really, really cool, especially since Tolkien drew them. It's hardback. The design is really, really cool, and so it's a collector's item worth having.
I dig it. I'm looking at an empty-ish spot over there next to my Lord of the Rings illustrated. So I'm like, I gotta do it. You sold me, Chris.
Nice. All right, so my pick of the week is the illustrated Hobbit, and yours is
season one of The Bear.
All right, John, we're going to talk about dead franchises that they should revive, and I assume we're talking about games. We didn't specify
yes,
at the beginning.
That's what I was talking about, but okay. Like, you know, but we can also dive into some, you know, if you want to go there, like.
No, not necessarily. I just didn't. I didn't like even like think through it. From the terms of not games. So
gotcha. Yeah, no, I was thinking of games. I was thinking specifically of games.
Sweet.
And the first one, Chris, that I want to bring up because I know that you're going to be on board with me whenever we revive this thing, is San Francisco Rush.
Oh yeah, totally.
There was San Francisco Rush, and there's San Francisco Rush 2049. And 2049 was the one on the Dreamcast that we played a ton of. It's a fantastic game made by Midway, which is why it will never come back, because Midway doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, surely someone owns the IP.
I don't know that anybody, like, I don't know that they bought, like, I'll do some research, but I don't think that Midway, like, there's so many Midway games. Let me see if they got bought by anybody. Purchased. Because whenever they went down, Let's see. Warner Brothers Games purchased most of Midway's assets. So maybe Warner Brothers Games could revive San Francisco Rush, Chris.
There you go.
Maybe. Come on, Warner Brothers. Let's do this. They should put the Batman developers on it.
Yes.
I mean, there was that like
the Batman developers.
Yeah, the car combat, like the Arkham Asylum or Arkham City.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
There was like the driving stuff in that game that everybody hated the driving stuff in.
Oh, yeah. Forgot all about that.
So they'd be perfect for a driving game.
True.
Oh, man. Do you have one off the bat to you know, off the top of your head, just like pulling them up?
And I think this is the one I'm thinking of, but I would revive Arena Maze of Death.
Ooh, yeah, that's the one.
It was on Game Gear. It was an isometric 3D platformer, right?
Yep. Yeah, well, it's more like a shooter, isometric shooter is what I would call it. But it was like puzzle based because you had to have like the different power ups and it was sometimes it was like horde kind of, but then other times it was more puzzly and like, oh, how do you raise this platform to like go across or time it right?
Yeah, that's true. It was more like a puzzler action puzzler maybe. But it was really, really good. I really liked it. I feel like, you know, the last isometric game I played was, what's it called? With the guitar dude.
The guitar dude. What are you talking about?
Oh man.
I was going to say, there's on Game Gear, there's Sonic Labyrinth was a good isometric.
Sonic Labyrinth was good. No, I mean like, no, this is like a game we both love.
Oh, with a guitar dude?
Like a little blonde guitar dude with a narrator.
Bastion.
Bastion, yes.
Yeah,
so bring
it
back Bastion style, but with Arena Maze of Death. I would love it. Dude,
Sega published it. So like Sega could bring it back. Come on, Sega.
Wow.
Let's get this. Let's bring back the Arena Maze of Death. The reception, I'm like looking at the Wikipedia page, and the reception is the four reviewers of Electronic Gaming Monthly commented on how advanced the game's graphics are, saying it looks better than even most contemporary Sega Genesis games, but it's on the Game Gear.
Wow.
That's
wild.
Very cool. Again, I gave it an 8 out of 10, so it was well reviewed. And then in a retrospective review, so like a review from current days that reviewed an old game, which maybe it's probably closer to whenever originally came out than we are to the review. Who knows for all game? Cause all game doesn't, I don't know if that exists anymore, but, we've got a 4 out of 5 stars.
Nice.
Praising the exploration of levels, the password feature. So you could resume levels. It was basically a save system, easy controls and advanced graphics. Cool.
It's awesome.
So Arena Maze of Death.
Yep.
You know what the funny thing is, Chris, that a few years ago I would have been like, bring back Scott Pilgrim. But revived. They did it. I never in a million years would have thought that they would have been able to do that because of like just all the mess of like rights with a lot of those types of games. But they did it. They did it and brought it back. You know, like never say never. Maybe Arena of Maze of Death can come back. Maybe maybe the San Francisco 2049 can come back. There's a lot of like Dreamcast, I feel like, and I guess maybe a lot of Sega franchises that I feel like I would bring back. I know like Sega's talking about, like they've mentioned a few times, like bringing back Crazy Taxi and things like that. So those won't be on the list. But like, you know, there's a lot of like old lost like Sega games, but here's one, Chris, that I want to be brought back called Skies of Arcadia from the Sega Dreamcast. So there's two releases of Skies of Arcadia. It was released to the Dreamcast. And then I think there was a GameCube version, that was released. And that's a game like it was honestly like the demo of that game was the first time I'd ever really like Because I mean, I guess we'd played Shining Force before, but that's more like a tactical RPG rather than just like you go into a battle and the two sides are standing there and you choose the stuff. So just a standard kind of RPG format, a turn-based RPG format, rather than a tactical thing. I think that was my first one, really, where it's like, oh yeah, you choose the attack thing and then the sword dude runs over and smashes the person that you selected. But yeah, so that was like my first one of those. And it is honestly like one of the ones that people regard like, oh man, I wish they would just bring that back. Cause like you were on like the flying boats, like the flying, like up in the sky ships. And, yeah, it was fantastic. So if they would just bring that back, I would be totally down.
That's true. I've talked about this before. I'd really love, Microsoft to bring back the Fear franchise. It's a first-person shooter, scary. It's a lot of fun, but you can even play Fear 2 right now via backwards compatibility.
That's right.
You can play Fear 1, but you can't buy it digitally, which is weird.
Dude, that is so strange that you can like, oh yeah, you can play it, but you just have to already have owned it.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Who owns the Fear franchise? Did we talk about that before?
It's Microsoft.
Wait, Microsoft owns Fear?
Yeah.
No way.
It. Yeah, Microsoft Game Studios.
Why would they have stopped publishing that franchise?
It's a good question. I don't know. Like, maybe they... Well, I don't know why they stopped publishing it. They did. I mean, they kind of finished the story, but they could pick it back up. You could figure it out. You know
what I mean?
Well,
I mean, like, they're rebooting, what is it, like Perfect Dark or something like that with the initiative, the quadruple A, and it's like... Like, Fear is way more... has way more recent, like... popularity than something like Perfect Dark does anymore. Like, I don't know, man. That's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild. Let me see. Publishers. Okay. Hang on. So it's published a few different publishers.
Mm.
So you have in different years, so they must have sold the rights to different places. So you got Xbox, you got Vivendi, and you got Warner Brothers based on the year.
Mm.
So maybe that's like the entries in the franchise. So it might be one of those like, hey, the rights of this thing are a mess. And so, yeah, that's wild. And kind of a bummer because like why not bring it back, Chris? Why? I feel like of all the, you know, they're looking for like first party, like really, you know, good cachet on titles and good, you know, IP. My Xbox would have been a great one. Microsoft would have been a great one to have the rights to that still, but it appears that Warner Brothers also owns the rights to Fear right now. So Warner Brothers get to making some games.
Yeah.
As far as Skies of Arcadia goes, let me see, who's the publisher on that? Was it... No, Sega too, man. Sega? Come on. Sega and Warner Brothers are out here like holding us back, Chris.
Always.
Other things like, man, I'm trying to think of other ones. Like there's honestly on the 3DS, there are like games where it's like, oh yeah, these are the stylus and things like that I would like to see come back. Like there's the Kirby, like what is it? No, maybe that wasn't on 3DS. That might've been on, no, it was on 3DS. It was might have been on DS. There's the one where you like basically Kirby is rolling down a hill and you have to draw the platforms under him. I think it's like called Kirby and Rainbow or Rainbow Curse? Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. That sounds about right. But you basically draw the platforms underneath the ever-moving Kirby and you have to draw platforms to kind of swoop him up and make jumps and ramps and things to get Kirby to the end of the level as he's just kind of like a ball and is rolling down these hills that you're making for him. And I just always like that's a super fun fantastical kind of a premise for the game, just to draw the like a platforming game where you're basically you are the platforms instead of the person jumping on them. and so like I would like to see something like that come back. And I feel like it would be easy to do on something like an iPad or like a phone, but on modern consoles, like there's that game's never getting ported over probably because like it was so dependent on that stylus and being able to accurately like draw these different platforms and things. So I feel like that one's almost like well and truly dead unless some indie developer decides to like basically use the idea and with their own concept on there for like an iPad or something like that. But that would be a fun one to bring back.
Totally, totally. Man, I wish I'd thought about this and made a list, but I think I'm out of ideas right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was close on the rainbow. I was like, yeah, there's that one that I honestly don't even know if that's the name of it. Let me see if that's the name of it. The Kirby's Rainbow Curse or something like that. Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. That sounds more right. Rainbow Curse. Because Kirby's had so many different games that like that one might not even be it. Might not be the one. Let me see. I don't know. The Kirby and the Rainbow Curse definitely is a Kirby game, but whether it's the one I'm talking about or not is in question. So,
all right. Well, that's what we got for you this week. This is a short one. It's the dog days of summer. Not much going on. I need to go to the theater and watch some more movies. And I can give you some more hot take. Oh, I forgot I saw Oppenheimer. I should have talked about that.
Dude,
that's my pick of the week.
That should have been your pick of the week.
Oh my gosh. That's my pick of the week. I'll talk about it next week, I guess. But
dude, yeah, well I'm excited to hear about it next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Question for you. I saw another, and I think I shared this with you. Like, there was some article where it's like, oh, here's Christopher Nolan defending his like hard to hear dialogue again. Did you find it hard to hear?
No. I don't know what they're talking about right now.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. This movie, I did not find it hard to hear, but I also saw it in IMAX. So it might have been easier to hear, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did not find it hard to hear personally.
I mean, the premium sound formats like that and then Dolby will be definitely the best possible, scenario. Whereas, like, if you just go to a standard theater, it might be, who knows?
Right.
Interesting. That's the thing is, like, there have been times where people are like, oh, yeah, obviously Bane's voice. It's like, it's impossible to understand Bane through most of that movie. And then Interstellar, for sure. Like, there was times whenever you're like, why? What are they even saying? But Tenet also, like, that one is a weird one from sound. But yeah, like, I was like, again with this?
No, I mean, cool. Maybe, but again, I didn't experience that.
Cool. Yeah. Good to know. I mean, obviously, like, it all depends on also where you're sitting too. Like, if the sides, if you're sitting off way off to the side, like off center, out of the sweet spot, it's like, well, all bets are off. Who knows what it's going to sound like from right. The back corner of the room or something, you know?
Right. All right. Well, you can find us online at standtargetpodcast.com, on social at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
And at StandTargetPod. Please consider your podcast service of choice. Review us. Tell all your friends about us. We really appreciate it. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on Stay on Target.